Welcome to Mum Fessions, the award-winning podcast that helps you navigate motherhood. I'm Laura Guckian, maternal mental health advocate, motherhood coach, founder of Mind Mommy Coaching, and most importantly, mum of three. I'm on a mission to change how we talk about and support maternal mental health. This isn't just another motherhood podcast, because you are my guests. Each week, I'll be sharing your mum fessions, the honest, raw, messy truths mums are often too afraid to say out loud. I'll unpack the guilt, the overwhelm, the rage, and the reality. And I'll give you practical tools to help you move into your happier chapter of motherhood. And this season, I've invited some special guests to help answer your mum fessions, because it takes a village. And this is the emotional village you need. Before we begin, can I ask you to do me a massive favor? Please hit the follow or subscribe button. This will help more mothers to find Mumfessions. Coming up this week.
It wasn't because I didn't want to be honest. It was because I didn't want to make anybody else feel like a certain type of way.
And as a mother, it's probably down to what we were speaking about. It was the first time I was like, whoa, this is actually outside of my control.
And now my whole, my mind is gone again.
We have to keep this in because this is part of being a mother. And I have to be honest here, I've experienced this recently.
I don't know if I'm that mum.
I am so excited to welcome my guest to Mumfessions today, the lovely Georgia Dayton, the other half of Made by Mamas. But before we let you talk, I just want to talk about something to let everyone know how wonderful Georgia is and her other half, Zoe.
Aww.
Because I first met Georgia probably a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it was at a time when I was in Ireland and I was really trying to get on podcasts and knock on doors and nobody in Ireland would let me in. This clique in Ireland just would not let me in. And I was like, maybe I'll try go on a podcast in the UK. And sure enough, Zoe and Georgia said, sure, come on. And I joined them on Made by Mamas. And there's more to this story. But basically, what you probably don't realize that day, Georgia, is you basically opened the door to the UK. And ever since then, more and more doors opened for me in the UK. And I always think back to you and Zoe. And I'm sort of forever grateful because it's almost like you're my, I don't want to say big sisters, but my friendly place in London. And anytime I meet Zoe at a party or in London or an event, it's always so warm and welcoming. So that's the first thing I want to say, that you literally were the people that opened the UK for me. And then the second thing I want to say, Abby's probably like, what's she going to say, is there's more to this. There's more to this, because I really just want to talk about You and Zoe are the definition of women supporting women, because probably 2 years ago, I had an idea for my podcast. And at this stage, I think I'd been on Made by Mamas, two or three times?
Yeah, a few times.
And I had shared my idea with a few people in Ireland and they were like, that's not a podcast. Because at the time, it was just voice notes and me answering them. I was like, what will I do? Okay, I remember Charlotte. Charlotte was the producer of Made by Mamas at the time, is the producer for this. And I was like, I'll just reach out to her. Maybe she knows someone in the UK. So we had a call and she was like, that's actually a cool podcast. We can produce it. And I was like, no. Like, that wouldn't be fair on Zoe and Georgia, because at the time she was producing Made by Mamas. And Charlotte was like, I don't really understand. And I was like, no, just please have a chat with them to make sure they're okay with it, because they also have a motherhood podcast. So a week later, Charlotte and I had another call and we were getting down to business. And I was like, wait, what did Zoe and Georgia say? And she was like, they said there's room for everyone.
We did.
And I literally was like, I have never in my life as a woman felt so supported. And I just wanted to share that story because nobody knows that. But I owe everything, probably everything, and most of my success in the UK to you and Zoe. So I just want to say thank you. And it's so lovely to have you on my podcast today.
Oh, thank you. That was really nice. I wasn't prepared for that. You said that you were going to make me cry. And I told you I don't cry. But now I actually feel like maybe you will make me cry.
I won't make you cry. But
it feels
genuinely
weird to be here.
It does feel weird because like there is a whole backstory to it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just takes one person to go, actually, I want to bring you on my podcast, or I believe in you. And when I went on your podcast, I had just started. I was nobody. And you just gave me the opportunity. And I feel like ever since, you and Zoe, where you can, have been like, pulling me along. And I just thought that was the most wonderful thing ever, to be told there's room for all of us. There's no competition here.
But
and
it's true.
It's a rare thing to hear, though.
But it shouldn't be a rare thing. I mean, I know you're saying that, but for me, I think that we have to do that.
Yeah.
You know, because if you don't, then, well, I don't know. I just think it's not very, it's not kind, but also someone has been that for you before. So then you should be that for somebody else.
Yeah.
Always.
It's so, it's, and I'll probably get in trouble for this, but it doesn't really happen in Ireland.
Does it not?
No. And I think the reason being, it's probably the scarcity of opportunity in Ireland. Like, obviously, when you're in London, there's so many opportunities. Yeah. But in my personal experience, and I've spoken about this before, I don't really feel seen in Ireland. And I've really tried to, like, get into the cliques and the groups. And no matter how much I try, I can't get in. And I've never felt like that in London. Like, there's so many incredible women here, like you and Zoe, that are talking about motherhood, and I've never felt like I was in competition. It's always been a sense of come join us. And I feel emotional even saying that, but I feel at home in London. And I think that's down to you and Zoe and for you saying yes all those years ago.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot. But I'm pleased that we could be that for you. And I'm sorry that it's not like that in Ireland. But I guess if, yeah, like you say, if the pool feels smaller.
The pool, yeah, then it does feel smaller. It
may, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't have that mentality, but I get it.
No, you and Zoe, poor Zoe, her ears will be scratching now at home. She'll be like, why are you talking?
I know. Zoe's not very well. But well, yeah, hopefully she'll be all right soon. Yeah.
So that's why it is extra special to have you on Mum Fashions, because it's full circle. So Georgia, if people don't know who you are, do you want to tell us a tiny bit about you?
Yeah.
And how you came to set up Made by Mamas?
Yeah, so my day job is that I am a PR. So day to day, I look after brands and do campaigns and all that kind of stuff. And when I fell pregnant with my first Axel, my husband was playing football and we moved out of London to a place called Cheltenham. Okay. And I didn't know anybody. I was pregnant, didn't know anybody. I was also a little bit like, I don't want to live in the countryside. This is rubbish. And I was in a cafe and I saw Zoe and she was with her stepdaughter. And we were sort of like smiling at each other. Her stepdaughter was playing with my dog. Like, it was that sort of thing. And then she just got up as she went to leave and she said, "Here's my number. I'm pregnant too." And I was like, oh, because she wasn't visibly pregnant. Yeah. And so we sort of, I don't know, I think I messaged her. We had a friend, you know, a friendship while after we'd had Axel and Luna. And then about a year later, so we'd been spending like every day together having conversations. And this was nearly 10 years ago.
Wow.
And I think the narrative around motherhood was all very polished and everything was perfect and all that kind of stuff. And we used to talk a lot about there not being really anything for people who, like, sort of wanted it to be polished, but it wasn't. You know, like, we liked the idea of all the nice things and all that kind of stuff.
But sometimes the reality, we just can't have them.
Yeah, but the reality was so different. And then also we were both going back to work. That was another thing that we had in common. And so we set up Made by Mamas about, I think it was 9 years ago, and then the podcast about 8 years ago. And so Made by Mamas, a podcast, we've been chatting to like celebrities, experts, all of that for 8 years. And essentially it started off and still is all about the conversations that you'd have with your best friend. Yeah. You know, we talk about everything and anything. And then I guess it's sort of evolved over those years.
So I can't believe it's been going for 8 years.
I know. Yeah, 8 years.
And like back then, that was actually quite a massive deal because I think we're lucky now there's more people having these conversations.
Yes, exactly.
But back then, I mean, you would have set that up when I was deep in the trenches.
Yeah, no, definitely. And also I think at that time, we were probably even more, aware of what we were saying and not pushing it as far as we maybe do now. So,
That's interesting. Why do you think you were being careful?
Well, I guess because you feel safe if other people are saying similar things, don't you? So we would say, oh, you know, I'm really tired and like, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And oh, it's not all it's cracked up to be. And all of that kind of stuff. Yes, we would. And it's not perfect. But we didn't. We would touch on mental health. We would touch on like bigger subjects, but not go into them in the way that we feel more comfortable
Yeah, that's really interesting. But it's also good because that means we've evolved. Yeah, that it's no longer, particularly when we talk about maternal and mental health, it's no longer kind of a conversation that's whispered or a niche conversation. It's mainstream.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like saying, you know, I feel sad, just like my leg hurts. It should just flow.
Exactly. Wow. And also guests are so much more open now than maybe they were.
Yeah. I find that as well. Yeah. That like I'd be probing for an answer and they just say it. I'm like, oh, this is easy.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. You're saying it out loud.
Yeah.
Which probably leads us to why you're here today. So you are going to share your momfession with us and help us answer an audience momfession. So Georgia, what is your momfession?
Well, I guess it kind of links to what I was just saying before about how, you know, we were maybe not so honest. Not so honest, but, you know, didn't say so much back then. But I think I used to pretend that the early days were harder than they actually were to other people. And actually, I probably find it harder now than I did then. That would be my mum.
That's so refreshing to hear because I normally hear the opposite where it's, I pretended it was easier than it was. So why do you think you pretended it was harder?
Well, I think it was mainly because, and I think especially after I had my second, when I had my first, I didn't really know any other mums apart from Zoe. So I was totally honest with Zoe. Like, you know, we'd see each other every day. When I then had the podcast for a bit and realized that lots of people were finding it really tricky, and I think I became more aware of not saying that I wasn't finding it hard with my second. So like when I had Gigi, with Axel, I definitely did find it hard. With Gigi, she slept through the night from 6 weeks old. I felt like I could not tell anybody that, like, no way.
Magic baby.
Yeah. And people would be like, oh, she's so good. And I'd be like, no, she's not. She's actually really not, you know?
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be honest. It was because I didn't want to make anybody else feel like a certain type of way. Like, oh my God, how is that baby sleeping? Or any of that. Because I didn't know. Like, it wasn't anything I'd done.
Yeah, it was just fluke. And that's the thing with kids, isn't it? They're all so different. One minute you're praising yourself going, this is brilliant. And suddenly it's all falling apart. And it has nothing down to you as a mother.
No, exactly. And so I think, yes, and if I ever saw, you know, a mum in the gym or, you know, just someone who I didn't really know, with my friends, obviously, I'd be honest. But someone I didn't really know, they'd be like, oh gosh, are you really tired? I'd be like, yeah. it's so tiring, isn't it? Yeah. You know, like I'd say things like that. And then I sort of felt like, oh God, maybe this is not the right thing to be saying because maybe I'm putting people off having kids here as well. And I don't want to put people off because it doesn't always have to be like that.
Yeah. It's interesting. I wonder, was it less about being concerned about if what you say would upset another mom and more about wanting to fit in?
Maybe.
Or the connection, like, you know, because for me, I obviously, you know, everyone knows I deeply struggled in early motherhood. Like, it was the absolute pits. But at the time, I felt like I was the only one saying this is hard. So at times, I would feel the pressure to do the opposite and go, oh yeah, it is wonderful. Yeah, kind of sitting there going, that doesn't match my reality, because I had a deep desire to feel connected and like to fit in, to be like the quote unquote normal mother, whatever that is. I wonder, was it something that deep down you were like, well, if everyone's finding it hard, then do I have to fit that mold? Or maybe it wasn't.
Yeah, I think it was definitely different. So Axel 10 years ago was very much like, you didn't say if it was hard. You might say it to like your friend, like sort of close friends. But definitely after I'd had Gigi, and I think because there is such a big narrative online about, you know, mums opening up about how hard it was. And I was one of them because obviously I'd, you know, been talking about having Axel.
Yeah.
And then I had a second and sort of thought that it would be like that again.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think, yeah, probably I just, maybe I did want to
I can relate to what you're saying. Yesterday, like, you know, everything I talk about is, you know, motherhood is hard and don't ever feel guilty if you're going on a work trip or leaving your kids, it's okay. But actually, when I arrived in London last night, I suddenly felt really upset and I was like, what's going on? Like, why are you upset? You normally love getting to London. Like, I wasn't crying or anything, but something just felt amiss. And then I was like, oh my God, I miss my children. Like, and I'm not saying that I've never missed my children before, but normally when I come to London, it's fun. And I recognize you're allowed to do this, Laura. This is your career and it's fun. But I missed them. And part of me then was conflicted going, wait, can I share this on my page? Because is that against what I say? Is that then going to make another mother feel guilty when she's actually not feeling guilty?
Yeah.
So I kind of relate to it. And I think that is the thing about motherhood. It's all of them.
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's everything. And it's this messy mix. Mm. And like, as soon as I get home to my kids tomorrow night, I'll be like, oh God, I wish I was back in London. Like, I'm back into full motherhood mode. But it was this weird thing of, I miss my children. And am I allowed to say that online? Because I've spent the last 4 years saying, you're allowed.
You're allowed. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No. It really does. And I think, you know, for us, we talk online and we share openly.
Yeah.
But it's not just, you know, online that you'd have this. Like, I think it happens in like school groups and stuff like that. So you could be sitting there like, I do this sometimes with parents and they'll be like, oh, you know, such and such finding the maths really hard. And you find yourself saying, oh yeah, even if, they're not. I don't know what it is. It's like this thing of, I think we also, maybe as a society, we don't want to show off.
Definitely.
There's that whole thing of, you don't want to be like, oh no, actually, like, no, it's not. I'm finding it fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't want to say that, which is really weird, but I'm really trying now to just ignore like that intuition and just say things like,
it's sort of the permission to not hide how you're really feeling.
Yes, exactly.
And I think this is really key, because we normally talk about that in, you can't say it's hard. But what we've just said there is, sometimes it's equally hard to say, oh, this is easy, or I'm enjoying this part.
It's not, oh my gosh, enjoying it. Like,
like, for me, like, anyone that works in marketing, I'm like, is this on brand for me to say I'm enjoying this part of it now? Because I am.
Yeah.
I am, like, this chapter of motherhood for me, 10 times easier. Anna is 4, Alex is 5, Leo is 9. And I'm like, I am coming into my own. I was not built for the early years. They were absolutely horrendous. Mm. And I would not go back. You know, if someone could say, you can have another child in the morning, Laura, and we'll hand you a 4-year-old, I'd be like, sign me up. Like,
yeah, but you wouldn't do the early bit.
I wouldn't do the early bit. So I think it really is us just calling out motherhood is messy and wonderful.
Exactly.
And there's no right or wrong way to feel.
No, and also one day you might find something hard and the next day you don't.
Yeah.
Or you can change, like, you can, it ebbs and flows and you can change your mind and you don't have to stay in one lane. You don't have to, I hate all this stuff like type A, type B, mom.
Yeah.
Like, all of this stuff is just, it's almost going back to when we couldn't say what we really thought.
Yeah.
Because everyone has to fit into a certain mum identity.
Yeah.
I don't fit into any of them.
Oh, I definitely don't.
Like, I really don't. Like, some days I'm chatty Cathy at the school gates and some days I'm pretending I'm on my phone because I don't want to talk to anybody. Yeah. Like, it just, you don't have to be a certain way. You don't have to be the arty mum or the crafty mum or the one that does. You can just be anything, or you can be one thing on one day and another thing on the other.
And that's because it's dependent on our capacity and resources. Like, if we have had great sleep for a few weeks, if we're not that busy at work, then I have the capacity to make the homemade Halloween costume, right? If I'm really busy at work, if I haven't slept, if I'm worried about something, then that is the last thing I want to do. And I am like paying someone else to do it if I can.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, our capacity changes as a mother, and that's what influences if it feels hard or easy.
Yeah.
But yes, it's so true what you're saying. Like, we have to fit into these molds of, and I sometimes worry, have I created that mold for me that I'm the person who just gives out about motherhood all the time? And then am I therefore not allowed to say, oh my God, I'm really missing my kids? Because I feel a responsibility now that I don't want to trigger anyone into feeling guilt. Because they'll be like, Laura told us for the last 4 years we don't need to feel guilty, and now she's feeling guilty.
Yeah.
So in a way, and I wondered, you relate to this, having made by mamas, you feel a bit of a responsibility as well, because you know mums are listening and some of them might be in quite a vulnerable place. Yes. And you're so aware that your words might impact them.
And also, I think, like, Zoe and I, we've had a few conversations over the years when we've been like, God, because we've both been in a bad place at that time, or things are particularly overwhelming at that time. And so then our content and our conversations on the podcast feel quite negative.
Yep.
And that's just because that's the way it is right at that second. And we felt like, oh gosh, are we being too negative and like saying everything's hard and saying everything's, when actually in 6 months' time, as we know, things can just change.
Yeah.
Because I would say, like, you're saying that the stage you're at now you find really easy. I would have said that 2 months ago.
Really?
I would have said, oh, I'm loving it. Like, this is great. This is lovely. Minus six. Well, they were 5 and 8 at the time, 6 and 9. Yeah. It's great. You know, they've got their things. But all of a sudden, this new thing that's coming in with us is the secondary school. Yep. And now my whole, like, my mind is gone again. Yeah. Because you suddenly realize, oh, okay, I don't have to worry about the, you know, they can feed themselves, in fact. Like, you know, they can get up and make themselves breakfast. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But now I'm like, oh gosh, the school I pick is going to is that going to impact their future, the friends they're going to make? Yeah. And then you go on this, like, rabbit hole of like, oh gosh, all my decisions now are so much bigger than they were before.
You're entering a hard chapter of motherhood.
Exactly. Yeah.
You've come out of an easy chapter, and that's the way I describe it. Yeah. Motherhood is chapters. There's hard ones, there's easier ones, and that happens.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in an easier chapter now. I've no doubt there's a hard one coming down the line.
Well, this is the
like
thing.
No doubt. But I'm
enjoy that.
I'm sitting in it now, going, chapter. I've earned this. I've earned it. Yeah. But I have no doubt that hard chapter could be next week. It could be next year. And for you, what makes this a hard chapter now?
I think it's the decisions.
Okay.
I think there's, as an example, if your child, you know, is really into something, right? I give, this is like a low level example, but it'll sort of show my mind and how it's working. Gigi, right?
Yeah.
She's really good at gymnastics.
Okay.
Right? She takes my breath away. Like, I cannot believe it. I'm like, wow. So, great. So she's been asked to do, I don't know, 3 nights a week, 2.5 hours at a time. She's only 6. She's saying to me, no, I don't want to do 3 hours.
Okay.
You know, I still want to go to rainbows and I want to do this. I want to do 1 night a week. But as the parent, you're like, I don't know what is right here, because you're 6. Can you make your own decision? I don't know. I'm an adult and I don't want you in 15 years time to say, why didn't you push me? It's that stuff.
Yeah.
It's those decisions that, you know, actually could have a bigger impact on their life.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a small example. But again, with the secondary school thing, I'll have like my son say, I just want to go to school where all my friends are going. But as the parent, as a friend, you would say, oh yeah, you do what you want. Like, it's fine. But then you put your parent hat on and you're like, oh, okay, this is actually a decision that can impact your life.
There's a consequence.
There is a consequence. And I think that's the bit. It's the decisions now have consequences. And am I the parent that will say in 15 years' time, I let you make your own choices and you be comfortable with that, with the potential of them coming back and saying, I wasn't capable of making my own choices. Why did you let me make my own choices? Or am I the parent that makes the choices for them?
And then you're responsible regardless of the outcome.
Exactly.
It's so hard.
It's so hard.
Do you know what it is? Like, the early years, when I look back at my hard chapter in the early years, my God, it was hard. Like, the sleep deprivation, the weaning, all of those transitions, like, we had to make decisions and do them. But there was no major consequence.
No.
Like, you know, there really wasn't. It was just, I think, energy and time consuming.
Yeah.
But I think, like you, I'm going to struggle in the next few years because the consequences are bigger.
Yeah.
They're becoming little young adults. And all of the stuff we thought about going when they grow up, that, like, that, the things we do today will impact that. Exactly. And that's hard.
It is.
That is literally the mental load on another level.
Yeah.
It's no longer like the lunches. I'm sure we're doing all of that. But it's more, am I making the right decision now?
Yes. That's totally
brilliant. And that's massive pressure.
Yes. Did you have parents who made the decisions for you?
Not really.
Yeah.
I had a bit of both. Like, I remember back, God, 2 years ago, and they made us do piano lessons and I hated it. Mm. I was like, I hate this, I hate this. And they made us do it and I hated it. And eventually then one day the teacher had to leave and I was like, this is brilliant. They never really made us do stuff we didn't really want to do. And there's pros and cons to that looking back. Because part of me then is like, well, would my life have been different? Probably not if I did more piano lessons. Like, let's be honest, I was never going to be some sort of like major musician.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know what my life would have been like. In ways, I do feel like, because they were a bit more relaxed, did I take on more of the adult role before I was ready?
Yeah.
They gave me a lot of independence. That's so they'd be like, what do you want to do? Mm. And I'm like, well, I'm 14. I have no clue. So we'll do this. Or they were very relaxed. If I didn't want to go to school, I didn't have to go to school.
Mm.
Now, I turned out semi-okay. But yeah, I don't know what the right or wrong thing to do is.
I don't. Yeah, because I had parents. I was an only child and my parents definitely let me decide what I wanted to
do.
And my mum always says now, like, I never worried about you because I knew you'd always be okay. And
were you okay?
Yeah. I think so.
I
mean, I definitely must have had my own mind and they must have felt comfortable that I could make my own decisions. But I do think, I don't know if I'm that mum. I'm not sure.
But are we trying to put ourselves into a box again?
Yeah.
But also, and I mean this in the nicest way, are we giving ourselves too much credit?
Probably.
And what I mean by that is, I think as mothers, we feel it's 100% our responsibility.
Yeah.
That like we imagine our child when they're 25 or 35, and we think naively that whatever we do can influence that. But actually,
yeah, can it?
It can't. Like we are such a small part of their life. And I mean that in the nicest way.
No, it's
like
true.
So many things will influence that. The friends they make, having a bit of luck or lack of luck, like maybe the first job they get or don't get.
Yeah.
Like when I look back at my life and where I am now, a lot of it was down to a bit of luck, a bit of like getting, like even when I spoke there about you, how I now am so lucky to have opportunities in the UK.
Yeah.
That was because you and Zoe said yes.
Mm.
Now, maybe someone else would have said yes eventually, but you said it first, which kind of had this ripple effect because it was like, oh, Laura was on Made by Mamas.
Yeah.
So I wonder, and this is just if any of us are feeling this pressure of I'm going to ruin my child. Can we actually ruin them? Like, are we that important?
True.
Maybe
when
not.
When I go and look around a school tonight, I'll be thinking, does it matter?
Does it, and maybe it does, but maybe you pick a school, but then something else happens in that school.
Yeah.
That,
and
like,
also, my husband keeps actually reminding me, if we get it wrong, you can change your mind.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he said. He's like, listen, you know, she doesn't want to do gymnastics this, but let's revisit it in 6 months.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. Whereas I don't know if it's maybe like my background and like this, I went to a stage school. And so it was almost like very much like, if you don't take this opportunity, it's gone forever. You know what I mean?
It's like, gone.
And like, I think I have that weird mentality of like, well, if you don't do it now, like, it's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, what something came to mind there. Oh my God, why it's gone. Baby brain. And I'm 4 years postpartum. Oh my God, it's totally gone out of my head. We have to keep this in because this is part of being a mother. Like, it's gone. Do you still have baby brain?
I do. Yeah.
How many years postpartum are you?
Six. I don't think I'm allowed to say that.
I have no idea what I was just about to say. Gone. It'll come back to me. It came back. I think if anyone's listening to this, what I sometimes get my clients to do, and it's quite, this one might actually make you cry, Georgia, if you do it at home. Like, imagine your child is 25 or 30, right? And they're writing you a letter or they're like making a speech, like maybe it's your 60th birthday, and they're describing their childhood and they're describing like what they loved about it and they're describing their life now. Like, what's in that letter? Because when mums do this, the stuff that comes out is really surprising. It's not, oh, well, I'm in the perfect job and I have this gorgeous house and I have the best partner in the world and my childhood was absolutely perfect. It's more like, I want them to remember the random Saturday morning in their PJs eating Cocoa Pops, or like that small thing we did, or actually the time their heart was broken as a teenager
oh,
and like mom came to support me. Like, it's the stuff that actually matters. And I think I would encourage every mother to do that, because what it will do is it will take away the nonsense that we all worry about. And it will take away this kind of expectation that our children's lives will be perfect. Exactly. Because, I mean, my life wasn't perfect. Like, yeah, it really wasn't. But part of that imperfection was getting to a happier place.
Yeah.
And it's a deep thing to do, but it really brings back into perspective if you're feeling pressure or you're not feeling like you're doing enough. Well, maybe you are, because what do you want them to say?
Yeah, that's so true.
Like, it's deep, but it works. Well, so like, what's Gigi going to be saying when she's 25?
Going to gymnastics, if I'm completely honest. And I think she'd rather just sit at home with me doing face masks.
Well, there you go. Like, maybe that's your answer, that yeah, it was just, or that,
no, that's 100%.
You know, or mum was kind, or mum didn't force me to go to gymnastics. Like,
yeah. Or force, or let me have duvet days.
They were the best days.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't heard crying yet.
No.
We will crack her by the end of it.
Yeah. Or maybe when I leave.
But I think your mum fashion was really refreshing, because I didn't think I'd relate to it. But as you were talking, I'm like, oh, that actually is me. Because the very fact I didn't want to post on social media last night, I miss my children.
Yeah.
Why was I hiding that?
Yeah. I think we've got so good at sharing that almost you don't necessarily always want to share. Do you know what I mean? Because we hear so much, you don't necessarily know how it's going to land, and we're so much more aware of what everyone's going through. But I think if we're all just super honest.
Super honest. And also, like, for me, I feel the guilt because I know what it's like to find it so hard.
Yeah.
And then I feel bad if I show up going, look at me, I'm in London and it's all great.
There we go. Exactly.
And then am I driving that false narrative around motherhood being easy? If someone is clicking onto that and not realizing, well, wait now, Laura couldn't function for about 4 years.
Yeah.
She was so badly struggling.
Exactly.
So it's maybe that is just a responsibility we have because we have platforms and we're so in motherhood. Mm. Like, you know, I don't know about you, but you mentioned the podcast going for 8 years. I feel so privileged to have conversations with people.
Oh, me too.
That most people don't have.
No. And I don't know if you feel like this, but I don't think I would be who I am now.
Yeah.
And have the thoughts that I have now, or any of that, if I hadn't spoken to all those people.
Yeah.
And it does. And I think as well, it's not just having a podcast. I think listening to conversations, like being able to listen to all different people's stories, I think it does change you.
Yeah. And there's nuances and there's gray and nothing is black and white.
Yeah.
And I always say, you know, if someone disagrees with you or you feel that they're judging you, I always kind of step back and go, but they've had a different life experience to me. Like, I don't believe people are bad.
No.
I believe most people have good intentions.
Yeah.
But if someone's judging me, I just put it down to they haven't had access to the same information or the same experience. Mm. So that's fine, but I'm just going to let it wash over me. Because as I always say, if they were in my exact position, they would do and feel everything I do.
And also I think as well, like, you know, we have so many conversations now about, you know, when people are struggling behind closed doors, maybe with fertility or whatever, and the impact that has on them. I would never have had that awareness before, you know, social media, podcast, all of that kind of stuff. And now I think, you know, if you might have a friend who distances themselves from you, before I would have just been like, oh my God, what's gone on?
It's nothing to do with you.
Now I question these things. I think, oh, well, you know, it might be that they're going through this. It might be that they're going through that. I think you can handle situations so much better because people are sharing
and
stuff.
And again, and it's not to get deep, but I know from supporting so many mothers that there's some really deep and dark things that a lot of mothers are navigating.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, very dark, and nobody knows, not even their friends or family.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good point, that if you have a friend that's becoming distant, or maybe they just are not themselves or a bit abrupt, it's usually because something is really going wrong. And I mean, really going wrong.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's navigating something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though we might all look shiny.
Yeah, I know.
Something is happening.
Yeah, definitely.
Shall we move on to the audience confession?
Yeah.
Over 80% of you told me that scrolling on social media makes you feel like you're failing as a mother. We are the first generation of mothers who have access to social media. At our fingertips, we are being shown images of perfect motherhood and how a mother should feel every minute of the day. The thing is, social media can't meet you where you are at. It doesn't do justice to the grey areas of motherhood. That's why I created The Village. It's a space off the scroll, away from the noise, and it's built to meet you exactly where you are. I'm offering all Mumfessions listeners 30 days of free access to The Village. Click the link in the description below for immediate free access. I can't wait to support you there.
I don't think my little girl has any friends at school and I feel so bad. She told me that nobody will play with her during break time. While we were driving to school today, I asked if she was looking forward to it and she said, yes, I'm excited to see if someone will play with me today. I'm blaming myself. Did I do something wrong? Why can't I fix it? I feel so alone and wonder, do other mothers feel like this? I don't want her to be that child in school that sits alone.
That's hit me.
Yeah.
That's hit me. I think because the stage we're both at, Georgia.
I know. It's,
our kids are, and I have to be honest here, I've experienced this recently. Well, obviously my kids are autistic. Like yeah. Alex can't talk. And like my biggest fear for him is he'll have no friends. But actually my 9-year-old, when he went back to school in September, I don't want to say bullying that strong, but there was a little boy picking on him.
Mm.
And that actually was quite a hard chapter where every night for about 2 or 3 weeks, he was bawling, crying and saying, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to school. Yeah. And actually that was upsetting, but not as upsetting as what he said next. So he's autistic and he has a little chewy that he chews on. And out of nowhere, then one night he was like, they all think I'm weird, don't they? Because I'm chewing on my chewy. They all think I'm weird because I'm autistic. And it just, like, it broke me. And I was like, you're absolutely not weird. Leo, half the class are probably autistic. They just don't realize it.
Yeah.
Like, and as a mother, it's probably down to what we were speaking about. It was the first time I was like, whoa, this is actually outside of my control.
Yeah.
I can speak to the school. I can see what's going on. But I can't stop that little boy picking on him.
No. And you can't be there all the time.
You can't be there. And no. You could see him. He was like, he was devastated. It's awful.
It is. It is awful. And I think I always sit in like two camps with things like this, because I think number one, I think things like this are going to happen in life and you have to know how to prepare yourself for it and navigate it by yourself and all of that kind of thing. But as a mother's instinct, you want to get in there and, you know, but I think if that you have your arms around them and you give them the tools to how they can handle it, then it's actually good for them to handle it.
Yeah, that's really good. It's the recognizing what we can control.
I know.
And all we can control as mothers is being there for them, like emotionally, tell me what happened. And like for me, it is my worst fear. Like when I think of my children, that letter I was talking about when they're 25, my worst fear would be that they went through school and didn't have friends, or like that they were the loner. And I hate even using the word loner. And maybe it's because they're autistic and maybe it's because I kind of always felt like the loner, but like I masked and I fit in. I'm really good at masking and I will like evolve to any environment. I will just change like that.
Yeah.
That's not always a good thing. It's probably why I was so emotional when you were like, ye let me on to Made by Mamas, because I couldn't fit in Ireland. Nobody was letting me in. But I think when we look at it like that, it kind of puts a lot of stuff into perspective, that if your child is going to school and they have friends, like, does anything else actually matter?
Yeah, that's true. And I think, you know, to the person who's written in, they said that their daughter's happy.
Yeah.
And they're looking forward to going to school.
Yeah.
So is that more about what we think? Because actually, what if your daughter is happy playing on her own?
Yes.
Like, that's the thing, isn't it? Because I think we all have this, you know, of what school should look like and what should be going on and all of that kind of thing. And then actually, they go, and if they're happy, even if they're happy playing on their own, then that's great. And she's looking forward to someone playing with her. But how great that she doesn't feel like she's got to go and fit in with someone that she doesn't
want
to.
That's brilliant.
Like, that's really good. Like, I had it with my son. I used to really worry. Like, he didn't really like anyone at school. Like, he sort of, like, had one best friend. Yeah. And I'd just say, oh, do you not want to have anyone else around? And he'd be like, no. Or he'd get party invites and he'd be like, no, I don't want to go to that. Yeah. And I was like, why? Well, I don't like that activity that they're doing. And I'd be like, oh no, but you have to because they've invited you. And he'd be like, but I don't want to. And so I used to worry about him all the time. Like, God, he just, you know, he's not social and he doesn't want to be friends with everyone. Because in my mind, I thought you go to school, you have a big group of friends, you go to parties every weekend and we all moan about going to parties. You know, like that sort of thing. Even though in my mind,
do we even want to bring them to parties? Let's be honest. No.
But then as he's got older, okay, yeah, he has made a few more friends, but he's still exactly the same. And in that he only likes who he likes, and he also isn't really that worried about trying to fit in.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking at it as a positive. So this person who's written in, that was sort of me. That's how I used to be with him. He had one friend at school, and maybe your daughter is looking for her one friend and that will happen.
Maybe she knows more about what she needs than we actually did.
Yeah.
Because when you think of it now, even as an adult, like I like to have my lunch on my own. Yep. Like, you know, if you've had a really stressful day, like if I'm eating in the kitchen and my husband comes in, I'm almost like, don't look at me. Don't talk to me. Like, I just want to sit in silence.
Yeah.
As adults, we know that and that's acceptable. But yet for kids, we're like, oh, no, you must get on with everyone. But actually in life, we won't get on with everyone.
No.
And that's normal and natural.
Yeah.
There are people we won't like.
Yeah.
There are people that won't be the right fit for us.
Yeah.
And actually, looking back, when I think of little girl Laura, like I'd no idea I was autistic, but I wish I had that about me going, I just don't like that person or I don't like that activity. So I'm not going to mask and mold into the person I should be. I'm just going to be Laura and whoever likes me can like me.
Yeah.
Because it's exhausting.
I know. And also, I don't know if you think about this, but I think about the sort of people that I meet that I really respect and really like. And it's always those people who have that real like sense of themselves.
Yeah.
I love people like that. I really respect people like that who just like, they're not, you know, they're not trying to fit in. And even if I don't agree with what they say or, you know, I don't like what they like, I still have that respect for them.
Yeah.
That they are just themselves. I love that about people. And, and I think, well, maybe we're like forgetting that everyone is an individual. So maybe, you know,
it's kind of linked to what we were saying about motherhood. Yeah. Are we putting our children into molds?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like that narrative around motherhood. You become a mother. You must feel like this. You must do this.
Yeah. You must have a mum bun. You must then, you know.
Are they still a thing?
I don't know. But as soon as you give birth, you know, if you were wearing jeans, people would be like, oh my God, you're wearing jeans. And then you suddenly think, oh God, should I be scruffy even though I don't want to be scruffy?
Yeah.
You know, it's that.
It's like we fall into what's the rule book of motherhood. Yeah. And I must fit into it. And it's exhausting. But actually, ditch the rule book for your children as well. Mm. Like, they don't want friends in school. Right. Are they happy? Cool.
If they're happy.
They're
happy.
Cool. Like, maybe they don't want friends. Maybe their best friend is waiting for them and they're going to meet them.
Yeah.
Like, the best friends I made in my life were in college.
Yeah.
And they're still my best friends to this day.
Yeah.
And you meet people in your life and they come and go.
Yeah.
And actually, now that I'm 40, I'm like, I probably have a handful of close friends and that's all I want.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted now. Like, it's almost like back in the day when you were dating and you suddenly got exhausted.
Mm.
I'm like, I'm exhausted from making friends now. I
don't want any more friends.
In the nicest way, I do want more friends, but I don't want to have to mask or change. Like, you need to love me and appreciate me as I am.
Yeah, and you have to, I now really look at the people that I spend time with and how it makes me feel. Like, you know, if you come away sometimes from a social situation, you feel drained.
Yeah.
I think that's not right. Like, that's not right for me then.
Like, yeah.
And I really notice now who I come away from and feel better or feel happy or, you know, whatever. And I just try and spend time with more people like
that. And what a gift that would be for our children. And it sounds like
already
your little boy has
that.
And he's like, no.
Yeah. Like, no, but yeah, definitely. And I think you can see it as a negative that, you know, oh, are they rude? I don't know.
But it's like Taylor Swift said recently, what was she saying about, you know, my company is a privilege. Like to be in my company and to have my time is a privilege. And I think that's a really good thing.
No, it's not arrogant.
Not in a, like, an angry way.
But
it's more, I think, being aware of yourself and recognizing what you deserve. And, like, I don't know where this is going, but, like, when I look back, even recently, there was friends I chased, or like, yes, we were saying it on an episode this morning with someone else, how it's really hard to make friends in motherhood. Yes. And part of it is it's just really hard to do it.
Yeah.
And I was always the person that would chase and follow up and hope you're all okay. And the last few months, I'm like, I'm not doing it anymore. Like, it is a two-way process.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be ghosted by people anymore.
Yeah.
Like, am I the only one who's 40 and being ghosted by new friends?
Do you know what? I actually saw something the other day saying about how school mums and dads, I guess, revert back to how they were at school. Oh. And how, and I mean, I've actually not really noticed it. I'm a bit of a, like, not an outsider, but I don't get involved in cliques at school. I just try and, like, be friends, like, you know, dip in and out. Like, I don't know, it's just the way I am. But she said that people sort of almost revert to that whole thing of, you know, girl groups at school. You have the girl group and they do everything together. They go for coffee together. Then they do things at the weekend with their kids together and they leave people out. And I was like, oh, yeah, I think I see that happen. And it's maybe they don't even know intentionally that they're doing it, but it's like almost like the way they learn to
behave.
Do you know, like at school, like you almost, if you were trying to fit in, you went into a girl group and everyone was picking on one person. So even if you didn't think that, you might do the same. Like, you know, like
it's the same in life and careers. Yeah. And like now that you've said it now, I'm like, I'm totally, when you think of what I'm doing with the podcast and my career, I'm just floating on the outside.
Yeah.
I don't belong to any.
Yeah.
I am just dipping in and out. I am in my own lane. And at times that can feel really hard
because you're like,
look at all of these people who are together and you see them. And it's not that they're bad people or anything. It's not. It's just, I'm not in there.
Yeah.
And it can be good to be floating around by yourself. But there's times as well that I'm like, oh God, I feel so unseen and unsupported. But then I remind myself, you are literally just floating.
Mm.
And that's okay too, because the right people like you and Zoe and other people come along then and you kind of build your circle.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to fit into a circle. You can build your own one.
Yeah. I don't even know what we're saying here. I think it's just more like take the pressure maybe of the expectation we had growing up. And when we think back to ourselves as children, are we placing that on our children?
Exactly.
Like, is there a fear that, oh, they must have all friends and they must be going to all the parties? Well, no. If they've no friends and they're happy, then...
Exactly. And also as well, you know, like, it's a process, isn't it? Like, you learn how to make friends. Like,
some kids
naturally just know, I don't know, how to make friends. Some people need to learn. Maybe, like, you could arrange play dates if you think that's what she would want. But, yeah, I think you've got to ask yourself the question first if... It's about you. If she's happy, is it more of a you thing than a her thing?
Yeah. And honestly, when I think of my children, if they're going to have to make a friend at the cost of them masking or not being their true self, then I would rather them be on their own. And I would rather them be comfortable with their own company because actually, I think that's going to serve them in life.
Yeah.
Because whatever path they cross in life, there's going to be relationship breakups, which I'm dreading that, by the way. What are we going to do when they get their heart broken?
I can't.
But is part of building them from that, for that now, or preparing them, the piece of, like, people will come and go in your life. And that's okay. Like, you're totally fine on your own.
Yeah.
Once you're happy in yourself.
Yeah.
And I think to sum it up, it is reminding ourselves it's not actually down to us.
Yes.
We're not that important in our children's lives.
And we're not always going to get it right either.
Oh, never get it right. No. But we don't know what we're doing.
No, exactly. Maybe we're just overthinking everything.
I think so. Oh my goodness. Well, Georgia, it has been such a pleasure for you to join me on Mumfessions. It really was special kind of sitting at this side of it for once.
Yeah, it feels weird.
I mean, it does feel weird. How many times? I feel like you trained me into podcasting. I think I've been on your podcast 4 times.
Yeah,
I can't even count at this stage.
Yeah.
So I feel like you were my mentors. You were the women that opened the UK to me. And you're always sort of my safe space. When I see you pop up online, I'm like, it's Zoe in Georgia. And I always know if I ever bump into you in London, it's going to be it's going to be a warm welcome.
Yeah,
and I'm just forever grateful. And I hope everyone understands how lovely you both are, because you really are lovely. Really are genuinely lovely.
Thank you. It's been lovely to be on the other side. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Georgia.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode helpful, please hit the subscribe or follow button. But most importantly, please share with your friends. because if you related to any of the topics on today's episode, I promise they will relate too. You can also leave me a review and a rating wherever you're listening. I'd really, really appreciate it. If you would like to avail of some additional resources, please visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching, or join the village via the link in the description below. I hope you have a wonderful week, and remember, it's not selfish to mind mommy, it's essential. Mumfessions is an Insanity Studios production. The head of production is Charlotte Mason, the head of digital is Ed Buckley, and the production assistant is Abby Sandler.